And if we turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 17. Book of Psalm, chapter 17. How many would say to me, "Preacher, the Psalms are my favorite book in the Bible"? Any folks like that? My favorite book in the Bible. Any of you folks like that? The book of Psalms. Nobody? Well, a couple of you are. All right. My favorite book is probably the book of Proverbs, one I've given the most study to. And it's, to me, a tremendously, tremendously practical book. So, what would be a favorite book, some of you folks? Anybody? John? James? James and John? Amen. Even before you're saved. I heard somebody else. You like Revelation? Do you realize it's one of the only, it's the only book that I know of, actually, that promises a blessing just for reading it. Thankful for that, because I still understand it. There are things in that book that every time I read it, I change my mind on just a little bit. Oh, my goodness. But I've got to figure it out. I know there's a date that's coming that I know that I understand the entire thing. And that's when I'm in the presence of the Lord. And I'll have it figured out, because He'll have to show me. Psalm chapter 17, there's 15 verses. Let's read these. You follow along if you would, please. It says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am proposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of a destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest, by thy right hand, them that put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for this tremendous psalm. And we pray, O God, tonight that our hearts might be thrilled by it. We might be drawn to you, that our thoughts of you might be magnified. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I believe that this psalm is a prayer asking for deliverance from the enemy. Most likely, this psalm is written by David asking God for his protection against King Saul. And most likely, when the persecution was at its highest pitch. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, we find David at a very low spot in his life. And it says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape from the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hands. And so here he is in this situation. But notice verse number 13 and 14. He says, arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord. From men of the world which have their portion in this life, whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They're full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. They really have nothing. And yet we find, as he is praying this prayer, in the midst of all this trouble, David has something marvelous. And we find that in verse number 15, when he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let's understand something tonight, brethren. You can have all of your doctrines right. You can dot every I the way it should be, cross every T. You can have all prophecies figured out. You can have all the doctrines of salvation of the church and whatever else you want to put in there. You can have all of that straight. But if you don't have a working association with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have that relationship, as we sometimes say, it's all of no avail. And so here we find David, he's saying something so marvelous. He says, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will see him. In the midst of all of that trouble, he has this great hope. Now, I believe this verse can have three different applications. And in all three of those, I believe they're honorable to God. Let me explain. First of all, we find, or I believe we can see here, an allusion to Adam. Think about this for a moment. When God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul, he would appear as one who suddenly awakened out of sleep. And most likely the first thing that he would see would be his glorious Creator. Now, I don't know how all that took place, but he was made in the image and likeness of God. He could converse with him, it seems like face to face. They had a most intimate union one with another. He was filled with holiness. He was moral perfection in its highest. And thus we find that he was satisfied with God, the God of infinite perfection, the God of purity, the God who's filled with all the powers and the faculties of the soul. And so I look here and I think about Adam. As for me, I will. He beheld the face of God in righteousness. And he says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I've told a story, you've heard it, but allow me to say it one more time. Many, many years ago, I had the privilege to go to a rest home and to preach. I had never been there. Our school could not get in there, but I worked with a gentleman who had the chapel services in that rest home. And one day he asked me to come and to preach for him. And so I went with great anticipation. And they had a room that was set up where the chairs were brought together and set up kind of like a church service. And there was somebody at the piano, and they did some things, and he led in some songs and so forth. And those wonderful old saints of God, they would sing along. I got up and preached, and bless their hearts, they nodded their heads probably in almost ready to go to sleep. But nonetheless, they were kind and compassionate. And when it was all over, he said, I want you to meet somebody. Now, this was a large rest home, and it had three, maybe four stories. And so we go over to the elevator, and I remember so vividly, he punched the number 3. We're going up to the third floor. We get off the elevator. We don't take too awful many steps until we come to the door. And he told me, he says, listen, when we get in here, I want you to understand, this woman has been born blind. She's never seen anything in her life. And I'm going to ask her if she wants me to read a scripture, and she will say yes. And he said, I will ask her, what scripture do you want me to read? And he said, she'll ask me to read Psalm 91. And he says, I want you to watch her lips, because she knows that psalm better by heart than I do by reading it. And so he walked into the room, and some kind words were said. And he said to her, would you like me to read from the Word of God? She said, oh, yes, I would love that. He says, is there something that you would like for me to read to you today? And she says, yes, I wish you would read Psalm 91 to me. And so he began to read that tremendous psalm to her. And I saw her lips moving with it. I saw the smile upon her face, the contentment that was in her eyes. And I just marveled. Here lay a lady who could not even get herself around now, who had never seen a thing in her life. And she's got a smile on her face. And when it was all over and we talked for just a moment, she can't look at me, but she looked at me. And she said something to me I have never forgotten. And I think she called me Sonny. She says, Sonny, I've got something you don't have. She said, the very first thing I will ever see is my blessed Lord. You have seen many marvelous things. Your eyes have been upon many different things throughout your short life. But the first thing that I will ever see is the Lord Jesus Christ. She reveled in that. And so I think about this with Adam as he came to, and he had this marvelous sight of God. And then I stop and I wonder, what in the world happened? Listen, we find that he had this marvelous relationship. We find they walked in the cool of the evening, one with another. There was fellowship that was marvelous. And yet one day, and I don't think it was too many days hence, we find the devil comes and he manipulates the Word of God. And Adam believes him. Adam believes his wife. And Adam sins against his wonderful God. I say that to say this, never underestimate the power of Satan to manipulate his word and to get you to believe something that is not true. But here we find, first of all, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I think of Adam. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. But then I also think of this as an illustration of the righteous. And when I say that, I go back to those days when I got saved. Can you remember the day you got saved? I remember the place. I can still see it in my mind. And I can remember walking out of that classroom and walking down the hall and all these kids' voices. And all I could, in my heart and my mind, was thinking, my goodness, I have such peace in my soul. You see, it hadn't been too long before that I woke up on two or three nights, and as I woke up in the middle of the night, I began to cry because I was so empty inside. 19 years old, crying on my bed in the middle of the night. And yet God, in these moments, brought a peace into my soul. And so here I look and I think about that. I will behold thy face in righteousness. When God made me righteous, I was able to see the peace of God, the love of God, the joy that overwhelms the soul. And I believe that for those who will continue to walk in the Spirit of God, that is still available for us. Matter of fact, he says, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when you and I are walking in the Spirit, we are in this spot where we're beholding the face of the Almighty. By the way, walking in the Spirit of God is a complete yielding of ourselves to Him. It's an awakening after death to ourselves. after we see that whatever it is we have is of no value and that He is of utmost value. And so I look here and I find this to be an illusion of Adam. But I also notice here what I believe is an illustration of the righteous. But thirdly, let's go on. I would say that I look at this verse and I think about, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And I think of that day when I wake up in heaven after the resurrection of this body. By the way, are you looking forward to your body being resurrected? I mean, think about it for a moment. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be. Can you think of a couple things you'd like changed? Huh? I'm serious. Listen, do you realize in heaven doctors will be out of business? Do you know repairmen will have nothing to do? Huh? I mean, everything is going to be marvelous. And here we find, as one comes out of death into life, there is something that illuminates within. And all of eternity will be devoted to our complete attention in Him. Some folks say, well, what is heaven like? Is it going to be about fishing the river of life? Well, you go fishing the river of life. I'd like to see Jesus. Some say, well, I get to pick the fruit off of the 10 different types of trees and get to eat of that. Well, you eat all you want to. I get to see Jesus. And we think of all of that marvelous thing of heaven and all that it might be. But really the center of the whole thing is the light of heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people today who they believe that those that are dead in Christ roam the earth. I'm serious. It's a form of ancestor worship. And they believe that somehow that when their loved ones die, they come back and they protect them. All I can say is, they put up with you for 40, 50, 60 years. Why they want to come back after seeing Jesus? There's absolutely no biblical evidence of such a thing. Listen, we ought not be excited about a loved one watching over us. We ought to be excited about the Holy Spirit of God who watches over us. Some people get all excited about angels. They are ministering spirits. But listen, we ought to be more excited about God who made the angels. And we have this illumination after the resurrection. And we get to gaze upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. All others will be pale in comparison to that. Be wholly enraptured with His presence and with His being. I mean, can we imagine as we spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, always, always in a position of satisfaction? You know, we spend most of our life dissatisfied. We really do. And we're constantly fixing something, constantly changing something, constantly buying something else. Why? Because we're dissatisfied. I mean, we change cars, we change hair, we change clothes. I mean, we just change everything because we're dissatisfied. But there's coming a day when complete satisfaction will be upon our soul. Is that something to shout about? Is that something to be happy about? I believe so. There's nothing that satisfies like the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing that satisfied Adam like God. There's nothing that satisfies those who are walking in the Spirit of God as those who can behold through the Spirit the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that satisfies like those who who are dead in Christ that can behold his marvelous face. What will it be like the moment after our death? What will it be like when we see Jesus? We get a little hint of what might take place, I believe, in the book of Acts. There was a man there by the name of Stephen. And we know that Stephen had a great message, made people mad. And so they took up rocks to stone him. And we find something marvelous in that chapter. I believe it's found in chapter 7. We find it as those rocks are being cast. He's about to die. The Bible says that Jesus stood up. Now, there's a lot of conjecture what that meant. But this way I look at it. It's like when somebody you love and respect walks in the room and you stand up to greet him. And our Savior stood up to greet him as he came home. Was there anything greater for Stephen that after the pelting he took with those rocks to gaze upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? Brethren, we have a great hope. We have something that nobody else has. And we ought to revel in that. We ought to be excited about it. We ought to be a people who look and say, praise God. I get to spend eternity with him. I get to spend all of eternity with him. About 3 weeks ago, Christy's daughter Allison was home. I don't remember what the occasion was, but I think most of our family was together. And she has a very, very good friend that lives down very close to what is the name of that town? Yeah, it's down by, what's the name of the town? Is it that far? And anyway, he's up to visit. And he knows the Lord. And Christy told me one of the last things she heard him say was, it's in God's timing. I don't know what the conversation was, but it's in God's timing. Little did he know that 2 weeks later, according to God's timing, he'd be holding the face of God. How old is he, Christy? 30? Not even that. We have no idea, but we ought to be thankful we've got a great hope. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. To have that walk with the Lord. Let us pray tonight. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for David, whom we believe wrote this, for the thoughts you gave him, for the words to write, that we might be able to see them several thousand years later. As real today as they were when he wrote them. Real in our own hearts and lives because we know you. Even more real, one of these days we step into your everlasting presence. But Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who does not know you. For if they step into eternity, it will not be with their Father, His Son, His Spirit. But with the devil and all of his demons. Lord God, help us as we go from this place to be so thankful for you, who you are and what you've allowed us. But also, oh God, give us a deep desire to see others come to know you, Savior. They're everywhere. They're all around us. Open our eyes, our hearts, our mouths. Glorify yourself through us. For this we pray in Jesus' name.